girl from nowhere. From The Gods Have Horns by Saltiside and Shadow Wasserson. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based upon the works of Andrew Hussey. Your name is Roxy Lalonde, and you are simply the best there is. No need to specify at what. You are the best at all of the things, all of them. But if you did have to specify, you suppose that you would say you are the ultimate best at computers. In fact, you are the drunken master of computers. Nobody can hope to beat you when you've got a wine bottle in one hand and a keyboard under the other. Nobody, not even you when you're sober, actually. That unfortunate fact has forced you to scrap your computer wholesale and just buy a new one on several occasions on account of not being able to figure out how to get past the new security system that you designed on it while you were drunk, or the password that you set at the same time. You keep telling yourself that you need to write these things down, but you never remember. You have absolutely no idea why that is. But what can you do? Programming is in your blood. When you are cut, ones and zeros spill out of your arm. Your fingers fly not like it's your nature, but like they're responding to the thrum of destiny. It was fate, it had to have been, that when some rich dude bequeathed half his library to the orphanage one Croakmas when you were still a tyke, that you were the one who got the programming books with all those pictures of cats on the cover. You learned to read out of those books, for crying out loud. You were made for this. It's your telos. But you are not just the drunken master of all coding. You are also one of the many students to have blessed or blighted the halls of Our Lady Who Is Without Mother or Father Academy for Girls. You are undoubtedly the best and most favorite of the superintendents, but she doesn't like to let on that she plays favorites, so she's always yelling about how she's one more misstep away from throwing your ass out on the curb. That never happens, though. No matter how many times you hack into her computer systems, you're pretty sure that it's all just talk and smokescreens. After all, if she didn't want to share the bottles of gin she kept locked in her back cabinets, then she wouldn't have put them there after you'd already picked her lock 3 times before, right? Now, you're totally on the best of terms. The fake mad face is just a part of the charm. Still, she does have to keep up a front if she's going to keep the rest of the school fooled about how much she actually doesn't hate your guts, so she has to make a profanity-filled house call every now and then. Seeing as you're the school's little orphan Annie, that means she doesn't have to walk very far, just down the block, so these visits happen quite a lot. Most people avoid coming in your room. You did have a couple of roommates, but you kept hacking the records or breaking into the records office and changing your file, and eventually the matrons just plain gave up and let you have it your way. If they want to talk with you, well, they knock, or they just scream at you through the door, which is what just about anybody does but the superintendent, actually, since you have known to come at people with broken bottles when they make too much noise or touch your hardware. So when you hear somebody enter your room one morning, you don't bother asking who it is. You just keep at it, smacking keys and drowning your hangover behind a wall of monitors, towers, and books, completely dark save for the glow of screens dimmed to their lowest brightness. But it isn't the super, it's a guy. Some jackass with a lisp. When you find that out, you're about to curse him out, but on a whim, you poke your head over the Great Wall of China, and hot damn, and thank your lucky stars you didn't say anything, because this isn't a jackass, it's the jackass. Solix Captor, the Mage of Doom, wearing some ratty, moth-eaten coat over his godhood. "Nice coat," you tell him. He shrugs. "They tell me I have to look decent for the public. Like people, is how Kanaya put it. She says it looks like pajamas." "Sort of does," you admit. "Fuck her. You're lucky I'm wearing anything." Yeah, this is totally his protest costume. But what is he doing here? You don't know, so you ask him, and then you offer him breakfast, just to be a good host. "What is that?" "Pickled prunes, tripe, cinnamon, eggs, and rum. Hangover cure." "You put rum in your hangover cure?" Solix obviously doesn't know what to make of you. Best person ever or supreme best ever. You yourself know exactly how awesome you are, but it's more fun to keep him guessing. "How else am I supposed to get a good start on my drinking?" Okay, you've nailed it. You are the best of friends or something now, probably. especially since he took a spoon from out of nowhere and is sharing your awesome hangover cure soup with you. You eat in silence, or at least as much as you can get between the clicker-clacker of the keys. Meanwhile, Solix is taking a look around your room, frowning, smiling, shaking his head, smiling some more. "I want to offer you a job," he says, "and you want to do a spit take, but the soup's all gone, and you're just now noticing that he snatched your wine from out of your reach."
Say who what now? "Let's just say that we're very interested in what you can do. So I'm offering you a job at Skynet," he says. "And you'll be given a place to study at Derleth University when you graduate from here."
You squint at him.
"Derleth? Ain't that a medical school? I do computers." "I need a biologist. They have a new program in computational genomics." "A little squishy for me, bucko."
Solix blinks. It evidently takes him a moment to figure out what you're going on about.
"I don't need another programmer that I could outperform on my worst day. I need somebody with a tenth of Fafari's bioengineering and a third of my coding. A biologist with your special talents would have many uses."
"A biologist? What the heck kind of biology needs coding and hacking? Then again, it would be nice to have a guaranteed job."
"But there was a catch,"
he continues, and you groan inside.
"You're a good student, but you're still a menace and a delinquent. That kind of shit isn't supposed to happen, by the way. With your behavior, you should be flunking or something."
You lean back in your swank rolly chair.
"Maybe I fixed my grades."
"You didn't, I would know," he continues.
"So you have to keep off the booze."
"Wait, what?"
"You are, I have been assured, a functioning alcoholic. Nevertheless, you are also unpredictable when you are drunk. And I do not want to lose my investment at the age of 30 for the sake of an exploded liver."
"Why me?"
"Because you're very good at what you do."
You grin.
"Yeah, of course. So what, the super recommended me?"
"More the other way around." You blink at him. "What does that mean?" Your hangover is making you fuzzy and slower than you should be.
"How do you know about me, then? Unless I'm some kind of chosen one or something."
He smiles, and your own grin wavers.
"Come on, man. Next thing you'll say, you got me into this in the first place. You gave me those coding books for Crocmas when I was 3. Oh, fuck, you did, didn't you?"
You stare right into the god's shit-eating grin, and you don't know whether to scream or laugh or try to do both at once. The superintendent doesn't actually like you very much, does she? But she answers to a higher power that doesn't care about that.
"You got me into this to begin with, but you're not just fucking with me, right? This isn't just, I mean, this is really happening. You're not just nodding at whatever I say."
You stare into the mismatched lenses of his shades and try to gauge whether he's telling the truth.
"It's all very real, Roxy, and yes, your intuition is correct. I've been interested in your progress for a long time. And you just want to play it all cool, like it's nobody's thing or whatever. I just happen to be the best there is, which I am, don't get me wrong. Why would I select you out of all the orphans in the world?"
"Because I was different?"
Solix snorts. "You were a baby. What's different about you?"
You take a moment to think about it.
"You knew my parents. They were something special."
His teeth gleam, sharper than any human smile.
"Not a bad guess, but you're wrong. You don't have any parents. That's why you're special."
You just about leap out of your chair.
"What do you mean? Was I some sort of cloning experiment or something?"
The Mage of Doom slips a card into your hand.
"Study hard. Stay in school and out of trouble. Then maybe you'll find out. And whatever you do, don't pray."
"Huh?
I mean, don't call Earth. We'll call you."
The coat falls down around him, his wings unfurl, and Solix is gone and the room is empty, save for you. You don't talk with gods again for 6 more years. You manage to stay out of the bottle for 9.
For the text of this and other stories by the same authors, visit the AO3 pages of Call Me Saltiside and Shadow_Wasserson. Suburban Jungle by Michael Guy Bowman. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. and there you can find links to other stories that I've read, my Discord server, and various ways to support me. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.